It is time for your KDNK local newscast for this Wednesday morning, October 19th. I'm Steve Cole. Yesterday on the newscast, you heard Pitkin County Commissioner candidates Greg Poschman and Scott Ryder describe what sets them apart. One issue they agree on is renewing the mill levy that funds the Pitkin County Open Space and Trails Program. KDNK News Director Gavin Dahl reports.
Pitkin County Commissioner candidates Greg Poschman and Scott Ryder are both in favor of renewing the mill levy that funds open space and trails. Here's Greg Poschman.
I strongly support renewing the open space mill levy. I think it's incredibly important. The following reasons are there are still properties that need to be acquired, places that we think are sacred ground, that we treat as sacred ground and assume are open space, really are not. And it's really a shock. We've all seen it when something gets developed or privatized that we thought was public land. And believe it or not, folks, there are still places out there. So that's important. The other thing is the open space program helps fund our cross-country ski trail program in the valley. There's a lot of money that's put into good public things that recreators and people use all the time. So I am in favor. I have been critical of it, though, but I'm still in favor, and I strongly urge everyone to vote for it.
And here's Scott Ryder.
Oh, man, do I. To me, what we love and what we're passionate about is also our business. Open space and trails is our business. But there's a lot more to this. You know, it's a slow growth strategy, and I am for slow, smart growth. And the best way, in my view, to control growth is to buy the properties on which they would occur. And so it's not only an open space, trails, environmental component, but it's also a slow growth, no growth policy, which I'm a huge advocate for. One of the things about Pitkin County is that we have this incredible abundance of quality of life and open space and recreation and habitat. We have to preserve the habitat. I haven't talked to anyone who doesn't think we should. I think we should get out there and do a master plan countywide on biodiversity, because I think current decisions are being made a little bit in a vacuum. A master plan doesn't exist. I think it would help us to really come together. Also, those master plans, the whole process of putting that together creates collaborations with other parties and entities that are out there. And so as you go through that process, you build this collaboration and this partnership with the other folks that are out there so that when the master plan's finally adopted, you've got buy-in and you can really move forward and do some great, exciting things and prioritize where the money's going so it goes to the right places.
For KDNK, I'm Gavin Dahl.
Colorado lawmakers have twice tried and failed to pass a measure allowing terminally ill patients to take a physician-prescribed medication to end their own lives. That decision will now be up to voters. Proposition 106 is modeled after a law in Oregon that was passed nearly 20 years ago. And as Benta Berkland reports, there are strong feelings on both sides of the debate.
Matt Larson says he didn't pay close attention to Oregon's law, or for that matter, Brittany Menard. The young woman was in the national spotlight 2 years ago after moving from California to Oregon to take advantage of the Death with Dignity law. Larson says he supported her right to choose, but then the issue became personal.
I was diagnosed with brain cancer in May of 2015 at the age of 35.
Larson's tumor has since been removed, and after a year and a half of radiation and chemotherapy, the cancer is stable. But there's a 50-50 chance it'll return. That's one reason he's publicly advocating for Proposition 106.
Usually there's that rule of thumb of 5 years. For whatever reason, that doesn't apply to my type of tumor. So it could recur a year from now, or it could recur 15 years from now. But realistically, at that point, my odds of survival are very low.
The measure would allow someone with a diagnosis of 6 months or less to live to take medication to end his or her own life. The person would need a written request in front of witnesses and then two verbal requests in front of two separate physicians. The person must also show they are mentally competent to make their own health care decisions.
As Colorado voters, we don't often get the chance to vote on life or death issues.
Opposition largely falls within two camps. For Peggy O'Keefe and the No campaign, one main argument is that there aren't enough safeguards in place. She doesn't want someone who is not terminally ill to take the medication.
We've all heard of issues where somebody's been diagnosed with 6 months, they've gone on to live 2 years, 4 years, even 10 years. So to try to narrow that window, but the proponents have refused to do that.
She also feels a physician should be present when someone uses the medication and that a a psychiatrist or a psychologist should be involved in determining a person's mental state, not a different type of physician. Participation is voluntary for doctors.
There's no requirement that there be a mental health evaluation. It says that somebody must be in good mental capacity.
Others are against it for religious reasons. In 2012, the Catholic Church helped defeat a death with dignity proposal in Massachusetts. Republican Senator Kevin Lundberg of Berthoud agrees with the church's position of protecting the sanctity of life. He also opposed a similar bill at the State House.
This promotes a notion that it's better to be dead, and I don't believe we as humans have that moral authority.
Proposition 106 would not apply to everyone with a debilitating fatal condition. That's because it requires a person to self-administer the medication, so someone with an advanced illness that affects motor function couldn't use it. But for Julie Selzberg, it's an option people need. Her father died from ALS, a fatal neurodegenerative disease. She watched as he starved himself because the pain was too great.
And that took 13 days for his body to shut down. It is not something that he wanted.
Selzberg also believes the safeguards are adequate. As for the 6 months or less to live diagnosis,
that's great if a doctor is wrong. Who is rushing to take this medication? Somebody who gets this diagnosis and who receives a prescription is not in their final stages. They are getting it and they are waiting until they decide it is their body and they have had enough suffering.
But some members of the disability community feel that they could be covertly coerced into taking the medication because other treatments are too expensive. Carrie Ann Lucas is with the Not Dead Yet campaign. She also doesn't think the measure is necessary because she says patients already have options to end their lives.
Most people who are at the end of their life do have a medicine cabinet full of medication that can accomplish that. We don't have to codify it in our laws.
Close to 1,000 people have ended their lives since Oregon voters passed their law. Others have received the prescription but haven't used it. Matt Larson says he just wants to have the choice.
In my personal circumstances, I intend to fight till the absolute last moment. I do everything I can, you know, and I don't know whether I would use it or not. But simply having the option, particularly now while I'm continuing my fight, would bring me a tremendous amount of peace and comfort just knowing the agonizing and painful death, the potential for that.
In Colorado, the Catholic Church continues to be the main funder of the opposition campaign against Proposition 106, raising more than $2 million so far. $500,000 of that has come from the Roman Catholic Diocese of Colorado Springs and more than $1 million from the Archdiocese of Denver. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Also on the ballot this election, Glenwood Springs voters will be asked to approve the renewal of the current 1 cent sales tax and to approve the city's ability to bond and build infrastructure projects. In addition, funding for the Center for the Arts and Glenwood Springs Historical Society are included in the tax and subject to annual appropriations. Community on the Move, an ad hoc committee of the Glenwood Springs Chamber Resort Association, invites the public to attend a community meeting tonight at 7 at Glenwood Springs Community Center on Wolfson Road to discuss the tax. And remember, you can listen to all of our election coverage at kdnk.org. Hover over the news drop-down and select 2016 election. Colorado's population is getting a lot grayer, and a statewide task force is on it. Eric Galatis talks to a friend of KDNK, Kelly Fritz, from AARP Colorado, to learn more.
By 2030, 1 in 4 Coloradans will be age 60 or older, and the state is bracing for housing, health care, transportation, and other challenges. In 2015, the state legislature created the Strategic Action Planning Group on Aging, and the team is working to meet its November deadline. Jim Riesberg with the group says the assignment is more complicated than turning in a book report on the situation facing seniors in the state.
We're supposed to make specific recommendations on things that we think need to be accomplished, some legislatively, some by state departments, some by business, in order to begin to meet the challenge and be ready.
23 people were appointed to the committee by Governor John Hickenlooper. 5 came from state agencies. The rest are public representatives from across the state. Kelly Fritz with AARP Colorado notes that changing demographics will also create new opportunities for employment and economic development, and the report's recommendations will impact more than just seniors in the state.
You're younger now, but pretty soon you're going to be older, and your perspective is going to change, and most likely you're going to still want to live in this great state of Colorado. What can we do collectively to make it that great place for now and in the future?
Riesberg notes, although the plan will be statewide, not all counties look the same. He says many rural areas lack services available in cities, and some counties are seeing younger people replacing seniors.
We have some counties where the senior population is growing because there are good retirement communities. So we can't have a cookie-cutter approach. We have to take these regional differences into consideration.
The committee's report will be submitted to the governor, the state legislature, regional and local governments, businesses, nonprofits, and the general public for review. The action plan will be updated in 2018 and again in 2020. For KDNK, I'm Eric Galatis.
The Freeman Fire, burning north of Rudai Reservoir on 336 acres of Forest Service land, is now 40% contained. Hotshots completed the hand and saw line on the east flank of the fire on Monday. The fire is completely lined on the west, south, and east portions of the fire up to the aspen stand at the top of the ridgeline. Today, the personnel numbers are expected to drop from 100 to 50. Still no evacuation notices to worry about. The fire is between the 2x4 and Freeman Creek drainages in grass, brush, and timber stands. High winds slowed down the firefighting earlier this week. They have since calmed down. Vehicle collisions with wildlife happen year-round, but statistics indicate that the migration of animals to their wintering habitats can lead to higher incidence of wildlife vehicle collisions in fall and winter. The Colorado Department of Wildlife and partnering agencies Colorado Parks and Wildlife and Colorado State Patrol remind motorists to be alert because wildlife are on the move. Past a little mini herd cruising along the side of the road this morning. So be watchful, especially during these dark early morning hours.